We're going to read together the holy law of the Lord as we can find it this morning in Deuteronomy 5. We start reading at verse 6 and we respond with the singing of Psalter 422, stanza 5. I am the Lord, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest, as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin that we make by just coming to church or just going through the motions, neither hadst thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. But then it speaks in Hebrews 10, what does please God? Then said he, that is Christ, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, who takes away the first, that he may establish the second, the way of faith in Jesus Christ, that cleanses us from all sins. We're going to hear about that justice and salvation and that praise of God who takes out of depths of desolation. Let's together read from Hebrews 11, verses 29 through 31, first of all, and then we read the Old Testament account of what God does in delivering his people from Joshua 6. Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essay to do, were drowned. And then our text, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in peace. Let us now turn to Joshua 6 together. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns, passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp, and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord, went on continually, and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So did they 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold, the vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, and with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. This far God's precious word to us. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, last week we saw something of the glorious and magnificent power of God making a way where there seems no way. We heard those beautiful words, didn't we? Stand still and see the salvation of our Lord. He will fight for you. And as a result, no enemy was left. The victory was given gloriously to the people of Israel. And today we are going to hear something similar. It's only 40 years later. 40 years later. And the chapter that we have before us, that glorious chapter about faith, skips those 40 years. But just for a moment, we don't skip those words. What happened in that 40 years? Well, Hebrews 3 talks about it. It was a time of not so much faith. It was a time in which the Lord was not pleased with many, whose carcasses, whose bodies fell because of unbelief in the wilderness. Unbelief, Hebrews shows us, Corinthians shows us, murmuring and immorality. 40 years, little faith, much sin. And that's where we want to start this morning. Is there someone here this morning who has that? Unbelief. Little faith. Maybe immorality. The Lord was not pleased. Maybe you have felt that. The Lord was not pleased. Let it make us stop and think for a moment. If that's you this morning, we're going to hear about glorious victory and glorious forgiveness this morning. And I pray that if your life has been characterized by unbelief and by sin, and God must say about you this morning, just like the wilderness generation, I'm not pleased, that you will come to that place of glorious victory, where God comes skipping over the walls of impossibility, bondage and sin, and makes a way and gives glorious deliverance. Because we are going to hear about faith. glorious faith that God gave to his people and upon which God did a mighty work, a glorious work. As we find in our text, Hebrews 11, verse 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So we consider the second message about faith's deliverance. This time, last week we saw Exodus, now we see 40 years later, the conquest. And we're going to take a look, children. First, we look outside, what is happening outside those walls of Jericho, and then we want to have a look inside, because that's the order of our text. We know Rahab was first, right? She was first, because the spies went there. But our order of our text is the other way around. So we first start at the outside of Jericho. And children, if you would have come to that wall of Jericho and to the city of Jericho, that was quite something. If you would have marched along with the people of Israel, you would have seen this is a wealthy city, a prosperous city. Yes, a godless city, because God was going to destroy, because the fullness of the wickedness of the Canaanites was there. That's why God was going to give the land to his people. It was an old city, a very ancient city. And it was a city which was known because of palm trees there, so it was kind of an oasis, a pleasant place to live. But one thing should stand out when you come closer to the city, those are the walls. These walls are quite something different. Strong walls. It says in our text, walls plural. So more than one wall. And that is actually when people did excavations years later, they found out there were two walls in this city. There was an inner wall in the heart of the city and an outer wall. And these walls were 8 meters high. Well, if you are a meter and a half max, 8 meters. Think about it. Impressive. A fortress. A strong wall. And if you would be in that city, you could watch all the plains surrounding it. So you should be able to see all the marching enemies coming. So those people within those walls must have thought, well, we are safe. And the people of Israel must have thought, this is going to be a long battle. A long battle. Impossible battle. Those walls, impossible. How will we ever get into this city? And our text gives an answer that is not so obvious. We wouldn't come up with that answer. By nature, we won't. We will never. But the answer is faith. By faith. Impossible walls, just like the Red Sea. Impossibilities again here. And what do these walls speak about to us this morning? They first of all speak about a defense. What do we see around it? Well, we see this strong city, a godless city that thinks we have walls and we can trust those walls and we will never be conquered and we are never going to be conquered. Isn't that what we see in our world all the time? People who think we are never going to be conquered. We can serve our idols. We can live up to our wickedness, but we are never going to be conquered. Jericho stands for our world around us. You have your truth and I have my truth. Don't bother with me. Don't even speak to me. That's most unkind. When you talk about sin and about your God, don't do that. Walls. Or other walls. If you're here, a believer, this morning, you know about those walls. Unless the Lord in youth very gently converted you and brought you to faith in Jesus Christ, you know that there were walls. Walls of legalism, walls of just going your own way, walls of sin that we erect in our hearts. We build those walls. They are there by nature. I don't want to surrender to this God, because if I need to surrender to this God, then I have to give up this and this and this and this pleasure, and he might hurt me, and he's a harsh God, and that's what we cherish in our hearts, and that's what Satan tells us. He's a harsh God. Don't serve him. That's how we are by nature. That's the wall we erect in our hearts. And I ask you, by God's grace, have these walls come down in your life? Have you seen that they came tumbling down? That's the work of God, of His Spirit. That's the work of the gospel. It breaks these walls down more and more, so that our hearts are like an open book before the Lord. Lord, here am I. I'm with all my sins and with all my shortcomings. Ride into my heart and conquer. That's what grace does. But unbelief does something different. It says, no, out here. Stay out. I want to serve my idols. We read about that in the New Testament, right? Paul speaks about strongholds in our hearts. What are these strongholds? These are the lofty, the high thoughts, just like those high walls that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. God is coming and marching toward Jericho, and we exalt ourselves. We say, well, we will never be conquered. So far stronger is God than all those walls in our heart. It is by faith, a gift of God, that God's people overcome the enemies in this world. But it is also by faith, as we hope to hear later, how the walls of a sinner come down. I don't know what kind of walls you are looking at. Maybe you are looking at walls in your heart today, and you have these impossibilities in your heart, sins that you need to overcome. Or are you struggling perhaps with someone, a loved one, strayed away from the service of the Lord, and there's a wall? Or are you perhaps burdened for the people around you? I hope you are. And they wreck those walls in our society. Stay out here. We want to be not bothered by Christianity. We won't want to be bothered by your God. Whatever wall you have, how do these walls come down? Well, one thing, they don't come down by saying, okay, well, you know, I've got to dig a tunnel under that wall and then sneak in some way. Or they don't come down with, okay, I have some power here of myself, a battering wall, a battering ram, and we are going to go and we are going to do it ourselves. That's not how it works. It's not our slingshots with fiery firebrands that we throw at Jericho and they will just start burning. No. Those are the options that we naturally consider. We need to do it a little different. We need to make it a little more fun and maybe a little less of the gospel. We need to keep these people, or we need to bring them in, and we need to make it nice for people outside. So, It's neither our force. We need to hold on to what we exactly have, and nothing may change. Traditionalism is not going to save anyone. Neither is, we need to accommodate everybody so that everyone has a happy feeling in church. No. Those are not the weapons. Those are fleshly weapons. Those are not the weapons of our warfare. What are the weapons of our warfare this morning? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God, of which Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. What does he say? To the Jew first and to the Greek. We can say to the Jew first and to the Gentile. We hope to hear about Rahab. That same power is going to save whether we are inside or outside these walls. We are not to think that somehow if we just do the circumstances a little different, those horses upon which we think to ride or our arm of flesh, those are not the means of grace. Don't trust in those. Don't trust in princes. Don't trust in horses, the Lord says to his people Israel. Don't trust in your own power, basically, or other people. Trust in me, the living God. Live by faith. By faith. That's how God conquers the world for himself. That's how God takes down the highest of walls. What are your weapons? Are they mighty to the pulling down of strongholds? God's weapons are. Ours are not. It's impossible to get there in our own strength, because how desperately wicked is our heart by nature. We seek ways out. So how are these people going to get into the city and conquer the city? Well, we are going to listen to a few things that they had to do. And they had to listen. But that was not after they had trusted. Actually, those things that they did showed that they had faith. So it is always in the life of faith. It's never about, now they do this and this and this and then it's going well. No, it's about faith, and that works itself into action. That works itself out into action, I meant to say. Empowered by God, by His Spirit. And then when we come to the second word here, the first word was defense. The second word is duty. We should remember that. We should remember that. How were these people going to go into the city? Children, what did God say to them? What did God say to Joshua? And what did Joshua say to the people? And ye shall compass the city, Joshua 6, 3 and 4. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow trumpets. How does unbelief respond to something like that? Maybe Joshua saw some blank stares. Really? Is that going to do it? That doesn't sound like it's going to do it. Walking around walls, that's not going to break down those walls, will it? Just walking around? Joshua, where did you get that? But isn't that sometimes how we feel about the means of grace that God has appointed? The preaching of the word, prayer, fellowship, studying the word together. Is that how we feel about those means? They seem to be so weak. Our prayer is especially feeble. Is that going to do it? And God says, no, those are my means. I've got appointed those means. I've got them appointed to you. And do them. Do them in faith. In faith. With growing obedience. Not perfect obedience. No, we will not be perfect on this side of the grave. But do them. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. Right, children? Have we learned it? The simple things that God appoints, the foolishness of preaching. The third word here is discipline. And again, we need to understand it's a fruit of faith. It's not, okay, I do this and therefore God must be pleased. No. It's a fruit of faith. It's, as our text says, by faith those walls came tumbling down. Discipline. Think about it, children. They had to do things that seemed a little strange. On the one hand, God told them, you be quiet, all you people. And the only thing we will hear while we walk around is the blast of the trumpet. And there they go, and they have this procession, and no, not the army in front, Joshua. No. The priests, the Levites, and the Ark of God. Is that going to win the battle? By faith. By faith. Obedience, yes, duty. But then also discipline, because there they were. And they had to march around the city. They had to be quiet all the time. Only the priests were allowed to shout, to blow their trumpets, rather. And again, let's look at unbelief for a moment. What does unbelief tap on the shoulder of the one who's next to you and say, well, that's not working. That's not working. And just as 40 years ago when they would spy out and saw those giants and they saw Jericho as well with their big walls and they said, we are never going to get in there, in that country. God may promise, but it's not working. The same thing could have happened when they were compassing about. That's what unbelief says. It's not possible. And Hebrews warns us that when we speak the word of God to one another, and we speak the words of faith, we need to discipline our tongue. We need to say what is true and right and biblical to one another, to encourage one another, and we need to warn one another, because Hebrews 3 says to us, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. Think about it, children, when they were going around that city. It's easy. Look at those walls and talk to each other. It's impossible. No, they had to be quiet. Don't talk about the impossibilities. They had to talk. No, they had to listen to the sound of the trumpet. The sound of victory. We are going to have the victory, but not in our own strength. Not by our own works, not by our army, not by what we do. We're going to have the victory. That's what the gospel says. Through Jesus Christ and the gospel and the shout and the blast of the gospel sound. And so they are. Here's the fourth word here. So we had defense, duty, discipline. Here we have endurance. Children, they had to do that. Not just one day. No, our text says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Think about it. One day, they walked around and they went back to their camp. And then another day, and another day, and another day, up to 7 days. And then the seventh day, they had to rise up early and they walked around 7 times again and again and again. And maybe after the sixth time, they said to each other, there's one thing very clear. If ever there is going to happen something, it must be of God. Because this is impossible. Look at those walls. They had seen them every day. And they knew it is impossible. They knew it better than ever. Maybe that is true about you too. When you have gone around in prayer about things in your life, about promises, about people that need to be saved, about walls in the hearts of people, and you go around and you say it's impossible, and it becomes more and more impossible. But maybe there were some who looked. Look, there's a red cord hanging there. God has promised. God has promised. Joshua 6 tells us, verse 1 tells us, now Jericho was straitly shut up, completely locked up. We would say today it was in lockdown. Locked up. And there they were. Why march around the city? Why? Well, it's the word of God. It's the word of God, the promise of God. That's why. Because Joshua 6 verse 2 tells us, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You see, faith rests upon the word of God. And that, not only that. Do you remember what happened just before they came to Jericho and they saw those walls? There was this angel of the Lord who came to Joshua, the commander, the captain of the Lord's host. Joshua didn't know. He asked children, he said, on whose side are you? Especially because there was this drawn sword in his hand. He said, on whose side are you? And the man, the angel, for all appearances, it must have been like a man. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, before he came to earth, visited again and again. Here he visits Joshua, the captain of God's earthly army. And he speaks and he says, I'm the captain of this heavenly army, the heavenly host. The heavenly host, the angels, lots of angels. So that we can say those who are on our side are more than on the side of the other in the city. The captain of the Lord of hosts. And even if we would be standing alone, one man with the Lord and having seen the Lord and knowing the promises and living by faith is always more than a whole host, a whole army, and strong walls. And that's what faith sees, and that's what the Lord needs to strengthen in us over and over, because otherwise unbelief takes over and we say, well, how is it possible? How will we ever get in? How will we ever be saved? How will we ever enter the promised land? How will we ever build Jerusalem? So they went, there they went, leaning by faith on the promises of God, 7 times, And then on the seventh day, God was going to do something during the seventh time. Seven, seven, seven. It's God's perfect timing. His fulfillment of His promises comes not a moment too late. Perfect timing. And they need to endure. God's people need to endure. It is when that seventh time comes and they go around this city that they see something that is, humanly speaking, impossible, children. Those walls, 8 meters high, they come falling down, tumbling before them, in front of them, so that they can run into the city. And that's exactly what we don't need archaeology to believe, but archaeology, they have digged it up, and they say that's exactly what we see in Jericho. Walls that fell forward so that they became a ramp so that they could run into the city. And they were circling it, remember? So there they went. They circled the city. And there God's judgment was administered. Salvation for God's people means judgment upon God's enemies. God said, this city is to be devoted to the curse. It needs to be cursed, except for the bronze and the silver and the gold that needs to be taken out, because I need that for the house of the Lord. And then again, archaeology shows us that in that city, there were lots of these urns with grain stored in them. What does that tell us? And they were burned. They were full of grain still. That means that God indeed gave them a quick victory. A quick victory. They thought, we can stay in this city and we have, look at what we have. We have grain. We can stay in the city. And that's what an unbeliever thinks. We can stay here forever. Look at what I have. All my possessions. But when God comes to a person's life, God comes at the appointed time and He comes with great power, and the walls come falling, tumbling down. God and His angels have the victory. And the city was doomed to destruction. What does it teach us? It does teach us two things. First of all, how God will finally judge this world. That's the first thing. God will come down, how we read in the scriptures about the blowing of a trumpet, the last sound. It is after all the prayers of God's people and the suffering of God's people is complete that God will come and Christ will return with great power and glory. And how will He come? We know that He will purify this earth and it will all burn up. And those walls, as it were, that we have built it, they will all fall tumbling down, fall to the ground. And only those who live by faith will escape this judgment. Only those who trust in the promises of Jesus Christ will escape this judgment. So where are you? Where are you? Are you with the people surrounding this city, this wicked city, with your seeing the impossibility, but trusting in the promises? Is that the side you are on this morning? Or are you doomed for destruction in this godless city of Jericho? Where are you? Where are you? There will be a day, Revelation tells us, that the people who thought they were so rich and they had so much, they will cry out and say, Babylon, Babylon, that great city is fallen. It is fallen. And they will weep and howl and they will cry out, trying to hide themselves into the mountains from the wrath of the Lamb who sits upon the throne. What a day. Think about the fear of those people in Jericho at that time. But there will be shouts of victory. There will be those shouts that join in with the trump of God. He comes, my Lord, my Savior, my God. Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory. What a day. What a glorious day. And that only by faith. That's how we wait for that day. Trusting in the promises. Trusting in His power. His miraculous intervention. And that, if we are His, will fill our hearts with joy. And our faces will beam. My Savior, He comes to judge in righteousness. Maybe you say, but my faith is so weak. It's not about how strong your faith is. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about how impossible those walls are. It's about how possible it is with God. What is impossible with man? That's the first thing. Christ is coming back and He will judge. He will save His people. But after we sing, we are going to look also about those walls in the heart that came down and how they came down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not. When she had received the spies with peace. So here we step back for a moment in history. Children, there is a few people too. And they are going to Jericho. They are a delegation of spies. And they are going to take a look. There in Jericho, just before all this happened, what we just heard, before those walls were coming down. And there they find a house close to the outer wall, not the inner wall, but the outer wall. And there, close to that city wall, easy to escape. In the Lord's providence, they come to an inn. It's Rahab's inn. And an inn was a place where many would come in those days, that they would be hidden. Easiest place to say, well, we have just stayed there for a moment. And there was Rahab. By faith, the harlot Rahab received the spies with peace. Who was Rahab? A Gentile? A prostitute? An Amorite? A most unlikely candidate for God's work. Some say, well, yeah, she used to be a harlot because there was flax. Remember when she put those spies on the roof? There was this flax that shows that the Lord had already worked in her heart. We don't know. It doesn't really matter. The fact is that here is someone who was unbelieving and who, through the powerful work and the might and the glory of God, is changed in the heart. And what does it do? It breaks down all the resistance against the gospel and against God. And that's what it did, earlier or later, whether it was already happened before or whether it came when those spies came. Because think about what she says, the second thing here. There was a delegation, but there was also a declaration. A declaration, a confession of faith, we can say. of Rahab. She shows that she knew about Egypt 40 years ago, what God did, taking them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. She shows that she knows what God did for them when they came closer. Kings Sion and Og, they were conquered. She knew it. And she said, I could feel the sense of fear that had gripped the hearts of the people here in our city, in Jericho. She says, the hearts of my people were melting. Their courage was going away like water evaporates for the sun. And that's because of the Lord. Now, we can then do two things. Either we lock ourselves in more and we trust our walls, or when the grace of God comes, those walls of our heart, they melt, they come down. And that's what happened in her heart earlier or later. Those walls came down. Listen to what she confesses to these men when they come. She says, for the Lord your God, He is the God of heaven above and the earth beneath. She saw the mighty deeds of God. And she knew this is the true God. There might have been people in Jericho that time who started rationalizing and say, well, you know, he can go through water, so he must be a God of nature. That's kind of how they thought in those days. He must be a God of nature. But he can certainly not get our fortress. Not so with Rahab. The only thing that remained for Rahab was pleading for mercy in the sight of judgment coming. Mercy. That's what she does. She says, I've shown you kindness. Please show me kindness. And that's how a soul comes to the Lord Jesus. In light of God's judgments over sin and His wrath over sin. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Is that how you come this morning for the first time or again? Remember thy covenant mercies. And swear unto me, she says in Joshua 2 verse 12. Swear unto me, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show me kindness unto my father's house. And give me a true token. That ye will save me and my family alive and deliver our lives from death. Resistance gone. How about your, my heart? Resistance gone. She takes refuge instead to this God. And so that's why our text says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. Them that believe not can also be translated by them that are disobedient. The world around us. Are we going to perish with them? Because we don't believe, we are disobedient like them. And the wrath of God must come upon us. Here is a marvelous work of God's sovereign grace. Someone who pleads for mercy. For mercy. That's what the soul does. Someone who understands that in the last day the Lord Jesus shall be revealed to them with mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance of them upon them that know not God and who disobey the gospel. She knew it. It's true because God says so. But by faith, Rahab could say, it's not my portion. I want to be part of God's people. Is that your desire too? Well then, look how God deals with sinners pleading for mercy. Look at her destiny. Look at her future. When those walls come tumbling down at Rahab's house, nothing happened. She was saved. She was delivered. And again, archaeology, we don't need it for faith, but it is wonderful when it confirms. They say there's a part in Jericho, they unearthed it, and there's a wall standing still, standing upright. Why did Rahab's house stand, children? Was she better? No. No. She was a very bad sinner, children. But it says in our text, why? By faith. By faith. God worked in her heart. The Spirit worked in her heart. And she trusted what? The word of the spies. She trusted what she had heard about the God of Israel. She trusted it. That it was true. That judgment was coming. And she trusted the word of the spies. And so she acted by faith. What did she do, children? She hung that cord outside. Remember that red, scarlet red cord. They said, if you do that, then your house will stand. And so it is the same today. Faith acts upon God's promises. And trusts God's promises. That was an act of faith there. She hoped that the Lord would pass her by in judgment. And how that scarlet red thread or cord or rope, whatever you want to call it, points us to the Passover. Here is a Gentile, a Passover for a Gentile, someone who did not know God. God passes by because of the red scarlet thread. We hear Isaiah prophesy, don't we? When we hear the word scarlet, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Are there here sinners with scarlet red sin, crimson sin, stains upon your soul? Then come, let us reason for a moment. Will you not come and trust the word of God? Will you not say, Lord, take all those resistances against the gospel, all those walls, let them walls in my heart, let them tumble down. Will you not look to the cross of Jesus Christ, that crimson blood that that came from his wounds? He can make your sins white as snow. Think about what God's grace can do for you. Wicked Rahab perished not. Her past, she had nothing to plead for. Forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that she could say, just as Paul later would write, such were some of you, but ye are washed and ye are sanctified, ye are justified by in the name of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of our God. That's what God still does. He cleanses. He justifies us. He says, not because of what you have done, but because I'm so merciful. You are just, you are righteous, you are pure, you are spotless, you are holy in my sight. You're right with me. That's what justification is all about. And so her destiny, her future was changed. It was a glorious future. She was included in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She became one of God's people, included. And still the Lord does that. He makes us part of his people. And for her, even she was one of the mothers of Jesus Christ. Look at what the grace of God can do for you this morning. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came unto the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. And if you say this morning, of whom I am chief, then you're in good company. And listen to what he says, worthy of all acceptation to you this morning. It's faithful, it's trustworthy. God is a God who saves the chief of sinners. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, there's a new beginning. The walls of our hearts come tumbling down. Come, let us reason for a moment. Hang that red scarlet thread that's a sign of your sin on the one hand, and that is a sign of God's grace on the other hand. The blood of Jesus Christ, hang it by faith out of the window of your heart this morning. And you know what? You will one day enter a better city. God is not ashamed to be called your God. You will enter that new Jerusalem. It says in our text that Rahab received the spies with peace. But what a welcome everyone has who is in Jesus Christ by faith. What a welcome, what a peace we will enjoy in that new Jerusalem. The city of peace, when he who receives us is Christ himself. And welcomes us. Because of his grace, because of his blood, we will one day be part of the new Jerusalem and occupy the promised land. Hallelujah. Let that be shouted from your heart this morning. Amen.